The following programming is sponsored by Home Improvement Fix and Facts. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Well, good Tuesday morning, Philadelphia. Welcome to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. I am bringing you my show today from New Orleans. Yep, I got a little vacation in, got away for a couple days, but I didn't want to miss everybody, especially with everything that's going on in the world today. I want to take a quick thank you to our sponsor, LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding in Brush Smooth Finish. They are an excellent product, and I'm amazed at how much siding I see down here in New Orleans. LP SmartSide Expert Finish products are designed to be longer lasting with superior protection against the elements. LP SmartSide Expert Finish products are also treated with four components of protection called the Smart Guard process that adds strength and helps the products withstand impacts of the freeze and thaw cycles, high humidity, fungal decay, and termites. Would have been a great product to have probably during the hurricane on your house. Our hearts go out to the southeast region of the United States, down in Florida, up through Georgia, and particularly North Carolina, where it has caused so much destruction. So I just wanted to give a shout out and say, you know, we are with you, we support you, and I am sure that everything will happen to get you guys up and running and built as fast as possible. You know, they showed Ashbridge, North Carolina, and that's an area that my husband and I had been to many, many years ago, and to see it completely underwater was very, very devastating. So anyway, I wanted to share with everybody with today's show a little bit about what's going on in the housing market. I also wanted to let everybody know that I have a great interview coming up from two farmers from, believe it or not, Texas, talking about how they use smart technology in their homes and on their land to do their farming, which I think is definitely part of a home improvement segment that I thought would be interesting to do on the show today. And I wanted to share a couple things that are going to be upcoming. As we know, yesterday they celebrated Jimmy Carter's Habitat for Humanity, 100-year birthday, and something that we're going to be discussing. I unfortunately couldn't get the interview because I'm here in New Orleans. I couldn't get it early enough to be able to do it live on the show. So we are going to be talking to some of the people today that were responsible as Jimmy Carter celebrated his 100th birthday yesterday. His home building legacy still remains strong. So we have a couple people that we're going to be talking to later and bringing you some information about the Habitat for Humanity projects and how that has impacted and affected people over the years and how you can get involved if that's something that you want to do. So that'll be coming on next week's show. So unfortunately, you have to wait a little bit for that. But to kick off the top of the show, I'm going to be getting into some of the housing market things, but I had an opportunity last week, and I did pre-record this because I knew I was going away. And just to share with people what's happening in technology with the farmers and the food that they grow to be able to feed us and on their land and in their homes. And whether it's a smart home or a smartphone, we often are marveled at the convenience and efficiency of modern technology. But did you know that local farmers around the country are using that same technology, that same cutting edge technology, to sustainably grow food and take care of our land? And I think it all ties together with a home improvement show because it's all part of life and living in your home and your land and what you do. So joining us to discuss the what's happening with the smart technology in farming are our two guests, Carrie Buchamp and Gina Sugarek, and they're joining us on a farm outside of Amarillo, Texas. Yep, and they're going to be telling us a little bit more about how they got into farming and how smart technology has helped them. Carrie is, she grows cotton, corn, grain, sorghum, wheat, and soybeans on her farm. And she studied, believe it or not, sculpture or art in college, and then went on to be a self-trained computer programmer working for a large sporting goods company. And then when she married her husband, she ended up returning to her roots from her Kansas farmer dad, and she and her husband built a farm in the Texas Panhandle, which I thought was really interesting. And then Gina, who will be joining us, also grows corn, cotton, sesame, milo, and beef cattle. And she learned about, as she says, learning about hard work, responsibility, faith, and honesty and integrity from her parents working with cattle. And her husband is a sixth generation Texas farmer. And they're just going to talk a little bit. And they have kids and they love what they do, work in the land. But they're going to talk a little bit about how technology has really been introduced into the farming world. So I believe I have those ladies right on the line, ready to go with us. And like I said, we did pre-record this. So if it sounds a little bit sketchy, it's because I'm down there and up here, you know, they're there and I'm over here and we're doing it a week later. So TJ, hope you're ready in the studio. Let's bring our ladies on.
Hi, Carol.
Good morning.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, Gina. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. You know, this was an interesting topic because we know about smart home and smartphone technology, but I never, ever thought that there would be technology like this for farmers. This is a very interesting topic. How are farmers using smart technology to grow food?
Well, we're using similar technology like everybody else uses in their car. For instance, GPS. Our tractors and combines utilize that to be more efficient for us, as well as satellite imagery. We use those images to see where our weak spots are, or where we need to put more water on, or where we didn't utilize fertilizer correctly, so we can be more efficient with our practices. And then we also run all of our sprinklers from our iPhone, right, Gina?
Right. So iPhones are used a ton, probably on every farm now. You know, you think of the old school farmer, man and wife, and they're holding the hay spear and things like that. Now I think it would be more accurate for them to be holding a smartphone or a monitor because that's really what we're using these days. So our smartphones allow us to be able to turn on and off our sprinkler systems. So we're able to conserve water from anywhere. We don't need to drive to the field to do it. We can just turn it on and off from our phone. And that's been a great way to conserve water. There's also things called swath control on sprayers. So just like everything has gotten smarter, so have our sprayers and the nozzles that are on them. So they will not respray an area that's already been sprayed, which is a great way to conserve our soils.
Wow. So I was telling our listeners, you're both farm girls, right?
Yes,
ma'am.
I love it. And I just love it. And for you, Gina, sixth generation? Holy smokes.
Yeah. My husband's a sixth generation farmer. I think my family, we're probably at four, and I was more on an ag side, a cattle side. My husband, they've literally been farming cotton, corn for six generations.
And you carry 15 years in Texas as well?
Yes, my husband and I, actually, neither one of us are from here. So I know you can't see behind us, but we're sitting in one of our cornfields here that we bought and started farming ourselves. We didn't get it. We didn't inherit anything from our family. So,
wow. Right outside, you're at a farm outside of Amarillo, Texas.
Yes,
I love it. And we're really trying to talk to local farmers here and get the message across about technology. So can this is which either both or one can answer this. How can you discuss the programs and services like the National Resources Conservation Service?
Yes, ma'am. So both of us on our farms are utilizing programs that are run through NRCS called EQIP programs. And what those are is there are ways to go in and cost share. So something that would be a really good program, new technology. I mean, just like everybody, you know, the next iPhone, well, the 16 just came out, right? It's going to cost a ton of money. All new technology costs a ton of money. So sometimes that's pretty cost prohibitive for us to put into practice, even if it is something that would conserve our natural resources, but something like NRCS comes in and is willing to cost share that with us. So it's able to make it a decision that we can financially approve on our little family farm. And yet, for instance, ours, we're putting in a well right now that's going to be run by a solar panel. Probably not something we would have been able to justify doing this year with it not being a great farming year. But they're able to come in and help cost share that with us so that we're able to use some of that green technology. And Carrie, y'all have some of that going on as well.
Right. Likewise, the EQIP program through the NRCS has been a huge asset for us because these sprinklers are expensive and we want to be efficient and conserve as many resources as we can. We want to be efficient with our fertilizer application, our water application, our chemical application. And by replacing the sprinkler, we have gotten rid of the antiquated 1980s sprinkler and put in a brand new smart sprinkler that has a panel that I'm able to run from my phone, as well as a nozzle package that has water droplets that are more efficient and allow me to conserve water before it even hits the ground.
Wow, ladies, this is amazing for farming. How does weather affect your technology and your farmland? Are you able to gear up ahead of time if you know a storm is coming? I mean, I'm asking these questions because I truly don't know.
For us, that's a great question. So we're actually down south, and so we're in an area that does get hit by hurricanes some, and I know they've got tons of wind up here. So there are things like that on placement of where you're going to put things like that. But a lot of what we're using that I think of as the technology going on our farms is in the tractors. It's built in to the sprayer nozzles on the sprinklers. Now, when you get in a tractor, in fact, Carrie mentioned earlier, they've got young kids working a lot of farm equipment, but they're great because there's monitors and screens and stuff everywhere. And something they're really used to because it's technology. So I would say at least a lot of the technology we're utilizing is protected and we don't have to worry as much about weather. Carrie?
So, yeah, the technology for us is great because we live in the land of extremes. So we're either extremely windy, extremely hot, extremely cold. And by being able to run all those sprinklers and water wells from our phone, if we get a 2-inch rain, which can happen in 30 minutes, we're able to shut off those sprinklers and those wells and conserve water instantly.
Wow, that's definitely great technology for you guys. And the kids are involved, right?
Absolutely. My kids are on the farm every single day. In fact, they are our sweet corn. They plant it, they harvest it by hand, and they go sell it in town. And they also, because of technology, they're actually able to run these combines and tractors because it's just easier for them to operate with the technology.
Wow. So I love this. Carrie, why is it so important that we empower farmers to make their own decision and all their decisions when it comes to managing their land?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great question. So just no different than everybody likes to go to the grocery store and be able to make the decisions of what they want to feed their family. We also want to make those decisions for each and every one of our farms. We want to feed our corn exactly what it needs to be fed with fertilizer or protect our soil. Each farm is different, and it can be right next to each other, but one farm may need something different than the other. It's not a one size fits all, right, Gina? Or I guess...
So I always joke that all women know that one size doesn't fit all for women in clothing, and it sure doesn't with farming either.
So this is a question maybe off the loop for you guys, but so from what I'm hearing here, you want to be able to manage your own land. So does it, is it basically saying, like, government, we don't really need your help? Like, when we need it, we'll let you know we need it?
I actually, for us, I mean, so we need that assistance all the time. That's why okay. the programs that they have, we need all of those different programs that can serve each unique farm. You know, just for instance, our soil type is way different than Gina's. So she needs other things.
So it's actually a great follow-up question that you had there. So I don't know that farming today can exist without some government help. And yet we need the government to remember that, like Carrie said, even within her own farming operation, a practice that works good on one farm may not work well on another one, depending on the type of soil they have going on. So we just don't need them to tell us exactly how to run our farm. Just like we all need the government for some things, right? We want protection from a military and things like that, but you don't want them to come in and tell you, we want you to parent your kid exactly like this, because what works for one kid doesn't work for another. Kind of the same way. We like and need the government help some, but we need them to remember that each farm needs to make its own decisions on farming practices.
Right, because it's like people, no two are alike. And so they need to, if the government is helping, which I love that they help you guys on a regular basis, it's needed, but they need to know when to back off and when to do it, because one size does not fit all.
No, ma'am, it does not.
You ladies are amazing. I couldn't even imagine. I am in farm country out here towards Lancaster, Pennsylvania, but I couldn't even imagine being a farmer, because to me, I think of the hard work and the hard hours that you've put in. So technology has lightened up the schedule a little bit or allowed you to do more? Yes?
It definitely is making it more efficient. So I feel like it's allowing us to grow more food. You know, the population continues to grow. It's allowing us to grow more food on less resources. And that's the most important thing I think about technology, is it's helping us conserve. Just like I said, my husband's a sixth generation farm. We want the farm to be around for multiple generations to come. And so we've got to be putting in good practices and yet still produce more because the population keeps growing.
Wow. Great information, ladies. Where can our listeners go for more information?
So watergrows.org is a great place to go look for more information. If you really want to try to connect with other family farms like ours and see more about where your food and fuel and feed and fiber are coming from, kind of get a glimpse into the day-to-day, check out the social media platforms at watergrows.
Watergrows.org. I love it. And can we also see, like, how people are farming? Like, do they use chemicals? Are they organic? Is that information there as well?
So Watergrows is a really good spot, and it will lead into an organization that Carrie and I are both a part of that has lots of women farmers, and they post a lot about what's going on in their day-to-day and give really good information about all types of topics on there. So I think it'll be a really good resource to follow at Watergrows.
Yay. Well, thank you, Carrie and Gina. Thank you for bringing awareness and sharing this valuable information with our listeners. You guys have a great day.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
And I want to let everybody know, if you go to watergrows.org, you can also read up on how water affects our economy and what families are doing to make it easier for all of us. I truly believe that we can grow the crops that we need here in our country without having to import so much of what the government has had imported over the past 7-8 years or so. So it also talks about irrigation for farmers and the future for our children within the communities of farming. And it also talks about, if you really want to know more about how modern technology helps us grow food and safe water and irrigation systems and what farmers are doing, it's a great place to go to get educated. With that being said, let me take a quick commercial break. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. And when we come back, we're going to discuss interest rates.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture.
Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of Brushed Smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in Brushed Smooth Texture at lpcorp.com/Philly Siding. That's lpcorp.com/Philly Siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Yes, we want to be careful with weather and how it affects us everywhere. One thing that's really important that is going on right now is being able to secure a firm mortgage. And what's really interesting is I've been talking to a lot of young people that are interested in buying a house, but they're saying they're waiting until after the election. They feel that the election can affect everything that they are possibly trying to do to secure a home and get a good interest rate. And I'm kind of in agreement, because I would like to say if Harris gets in, I do think she's going to help first-time home buyers. And I do think she's going to help our younger generation that is trying to do the right thing and get into a house. We've done several shows about mortgages and the help that is out there for people and giving yourself a financial checkup. So you can certainly go through any of those. But that's one of the first things that you really want to do is give yourself a financial checkup, look at your accounts, look at your money in, money out, and trying to make sure that you have what you need to get secure a mortgage. And finding the right kind of mortgage is important. And right now, researching mortgage companies is super important. If you are thinking about buying right now, the rates are all over the place. We saw a slight uptick in unemployment last month, which also affects finance rates, believe it or not. We've also seen the Feds cut the rate, which has helped the finance rates go down. So you want to try to secure the best rate that you possibly can. And it's really complicated about how they determine mortgage rates. There are so many factors that impact the cost of owning a home, such as your mortgage principal, your property tax bill, your homeowner's insurance premium, because that can really be a big one. And especially like here down in New Orleans, talking to people about the housing market, there's quite a few houses for sale, but they're saying the insurance premiums are through the roof, that they have had a 400% increase in homeowners insurance down this way. That's an impact of the hurricanes. And I can't even begin to imagine what they're going to do in North Carolina. And this is something that you really have to consider when you are buying a home, because of the insurance premiums. You might be able to afford the mortgage, but some of the premiums down here, I've been told by people who live here, are almost higher than their mortgage. So you want to figure out how much that mortgage is ultimately going to be to determine if you can afford it. And I can give you a little bit more interest on that, but I think people are very curious about where the rates stand as of today, October 1st. The rates have definitely gone down. I think that we're going to see rates go down even more than they are right now. The interest rates that I'm finding out there, and this is, of course, if you have good credit, and of course, the more money you have to put down means a lot. But for those of you that are looking for a first-time home and you're looking right now, mortgage and refinance rates fell as of yesterday. They had fell 79 basis points this whole quarter of the year. So even though mortgage rates were stagnant for a little while there, and then they increased and went up pretty high, we were up in the high 7%. Overall, the decrease has been significant this third quarter of the year going into the fourth quarter. And according to Zillow, the 30-year fixed mortgage rate, like I said, is down 79 basis points to a three-month low of 5.83%. That's a pretty good rate, almost 6%. Now, if you do some heavy-duty shopping around, you can find some rates lower than that, maybe in the range of 5.21%. But the average 15-year fixed rate has dropped by 1.2% down to a 4.97%. So I'm just going to give you some averages of what's going on out there, but you have to do your due diligence and find the best interest rate for you. Know what your finances are going in. Know what your credit score is going in. And when it comes to buying a house, the rules really don't change very much. So I would highly recommend you go back to one of my previous shows and listen to all the things that you need to do to get your credit in order to be able to buy a home. So the as of today, October 1st, the 30-year fixed mortgage is coming in at a 5.83%. If you're able to finance for only 20 years, it goes down to a 5.56%. Now, the 15-year rate, I found some flexibility in those. I've seen a 15-year rate at 5.97, and then I found another interest rate at 5.639. And if you shop hard and keep looking, you can find lower interest rates. They have the ARMs out there, which is where you have a payment that you pay for a certain amount of years, and then the rate goes up or down, depending on the market, usually up. A five-year ARM is coming in at 5.89, and a seven-year ARM is coming in at 6%. So if you can afford to do a regular 30-year or 15-year or 20-year mortgage, I'd rather see you do that than go into an ARM. I don't like them. I remember getting into one when I was very, very young, and I had a mortgage of $700 for 5 years, and then it jumped to over $1,000. I believe it was close to almost doubling the rate at $1,400 a month, and I couldn't afford it. It was way too much. They wouldn't refinance, and I ended up selling my home just so that I could, because I couldn't afford back then, which was quite some time ago, that high mortgage. VA loans are still very, very reasonable at coming in at a 5.25, and a 15-year VA mortgage is coming in at 504. And then if you do a VA mortgage with a five-year ARM, they're coming in at 5.78. And remember, these are national averages rounded to the nearest tenth. And so they're definitely going to change in the areas that you're looking for. Know what you can do, know what the rates are, know how to bargain with the bank, and don't be afraid to walk away if it's not the rate that you want. And try to get pre-approvals first, because if you find the house that you want, we're not having so much of a fight in the housing market right now. If you're pre-approved, it makes it so much easier for you to eventually shop around. And refinance rates are also starting to go down. I know that we were trying to refinance several years ago when the refinancing rates were down at about 2%. And now the current refinancing mortgage rates are pretty much doubled, a little bit more than doubled, because a 30-year fix to refinance is 5.74%. Then you go to a 20-year, which is 5.58%, down to a 15-year fixed mortgage. Now, that's not a bad one at 4.94. You can find some even lower than that, closer to 4.5 and a little bit lower if you're willing to do the homework. So if you're trying to lower your mortgage and you want to go in and refinance and go into a 15-year fixed rate, you might find that that might be affordable for you and maybe only a couple dollars higher than what you were paying before. The ARM rates of 5 and 7 years are still in that 6% range and higher, and the VA rates are a little bit lower too, coming in at 30-year at 5.18, 15-year at 4.86, and a 5-year ARM with the VA is coming in at 4.9. And again, those are all rates that you can look around and see if you can find something better. Like I said, there's so many principles that affect mortgage rates, and not everybody really understands the history, like what affects mortgage rates and what makes them so hard to understand. Why does it matter? It's basically just to give people an idea so that you understand a little bit more if you don't already. Your mortgage rate is the price that your lender charges you to issue you a home loan. And mortgage rates are really important for home buyers because they directly affect, of course, as you know, how much you pay each month. When the rates are lower, your monthly payment is less, which makes buying a house more affordable. And there are payment guides and calculators online that show you on supposedly, let's use, say, a $500,000 house, a $500,000 house, and you put down $100,000. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, Carol, are you out of your mind? I don't have that. I'm just trying to give you round numbers so you understand the difference in rate. So what that means is you're financing $400,000 for a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. And the difference between a 7%, well, let's go with a 6% interest rate because the rates are coming down. At a 6% interest rate, your payment would be $2,398 plus, plus, plus. That plus, plus, plus is your insurance and your PMI if you need it or anything of that sort. But if your interest rate was at 4%, your payment would drop by $400, almost $500, and your monthly payment would be $1,910. So the difference in 2 points of an interest rate from 6% to 4% is pretty significant. And that's why it's so important that you shop around and you look for the best rates that you can. You know that mortgage rates are constantly fluctuating. And we see it every month. And here's a snapshot, just so everybody understands this. Back in July of 2018, before COVID, interest rates were averaging about 4.5%. And then after COVID, they dropped. And the average rate in July of 2020 was down to 3.7%. Then every 2 years, I'm bringing you up to 2022, interest rates went up to 5.3%. Then the feds were not giving any benefits to the interest rate. Interest rates were going up. They were increasing interest rates. And therefore, July of 2024, interest rates were almost at 7%. It wasn't the highest that they had been, and they were just starting to come back down again. And here we are now. Last month, we were seeing interest rates down in the 6% range. And here we are now in October, seeing one of our biggest jumps down to a 5.5% range, almost 5.75% if you do some really good looking. So while the rate is significantly higher than it's been at an all-time low. Right now, the pandemic caused some of the lowest rates that we've ever seen in history. And we know what's been going on with that, you know, slowly up and down, up and down. So there are so many factors that just influence mortgage rates, and you can't control a lot of this. You can't control some of the components of what the federal rate fund does, because when the federal fund rate, that's the bank charge for loans goes up, mortgage rates generally follow. So now that we're seeing that they're going down, and with the feds cutting the interest rate by 50 basis points on September 18th, we are now seeing that mortgages have been decreasing, and the anticipation to see the mortgages get a little bit more reasonable for people is really exciting. And especially if we're looking at a new election year and things go the way that I would like them to go, my own personal opinion, I would love people to be able to have that luxury of owning a home. And I would love to see that first-time homeowners have the ability to get into a home and live that good American dream. Inflation also affects prices. Inflation at its core does increase prices and decrease your purchasing power. And I feel that we have somebody that is running for government that is trying to tackle that, because although they're saying inflation, what is really happening is there is so much price gouging out there. And if you look at the profits of some of these corporations and how they've doubled their incomes and done stock buyouts, I think you'll understand that it's not necessarily inflation, it's corporate greed that's going on. The other thing that can affect your mortgage too are government rules and programs. You know, there are government assistance programs still out there today that can help you, and programs that help people buy homes, you know, like tax breaks and affordable housing loan programs can make people want mortgages, which could possibly raise the rates a little bit. We could see that as some of these programs might get rolled out. It just depends on how the government puts them together. And another thing that affects your mortgage rates are world events. Yeah, if other countries have problems with their economies, and investors might put money into safe things like U.S. Treasury bonds, which can lower interest rates here. But when the global markets are steady, rates might go up because more investors are interested in bonds and mortgages. So there's so many different things that can affect it, and so many things that, like I said, affect your mortgage rate. So you can't control the external forces and what the banks are doing, but you can control what you yourself can do, like making sure you have clean credit, like making sure you look at the right length of mortgage, the term that's good for you. You might look at something like an FHA that has a lower interest rate, lower than a conventional loan. You might look at how much you can borrow, maybe try to save more for a down payment, and look at the difference between a fixed and an adjustable rate. Like I told you, I'm not a big fan of adjustable rates, but it does help. And then the other thing that's really important is your closing cost. So rolling your closing costs into your mortgage rather than paying them in one lump sum might be something that you might want to consider, so that you have more money to put down on your house. And remember that the fee that realtors are charging now is very, very negotiable. If you have a realtor that's trying to charge you 5% and 6% to buy and sell a house, maybe you need a new realtor. So there is so much in the market. Like I said, a lot of young people I'm talking to are kind of sitting on the fence right now, waiting to see what happens with the election year. But it's no matter what's happening in the housing market, it's so important that you take the best steps possible to get the best mortgage rate. And one of those things that you can do is focus on improving your credit score by reducing your debt and paying your bills on time. A very important bill that you should definitely make sure you're paying on time is your student loan. If you have one of those, do not let that fall behind. That can cause problems for you when you're going to buy a house. So considering everything overall, maybe now is the time you want to start looking into the market. Walking around the streets down here in New Orleans, I've seen so many houses up for sale. And the first thing I'm doing is going online to see what they're selling the houses for and you know what it's all about. But they're everywhere. You just want to make sure that you can get the best possible 30-year mortgage rate or refinance rate. They're usually very similar. And when should you lock in your mortgage rate? That's really important, because locking in the mortgage interest rate guarantees that it won't change before you close on your house. So on purchase loans these days, a borrower should lock in a rate as soon as they go into escrow, because the market is still kind of volatile. If the rate jumps, you may no longer qualify for that loan. Or you can on refinancing loans, you can be a little bit more strategic and kind of play the market and wait to see if there is some lower rates. But it's important to make sure that you pay attention to the market. A good realtor should be able to direct you and say, you know, it looks like with what the feds are doing, we're going to see lower mortgage rates, or this is the best time to lock in. A good realtor can help you decide when is the best time for you to buy a house and lock in your rate. So important questions. And you can change your mortgage rate during the home buying process by paying mortgage points. We've all seen mortgage points out there before. And for every 1% of your loan, that's called 1 point, you pay upfront, your lender will reduce the interest rate by a certain amount. So after you close your original home loan, you may be able to still lower the interest rate. So these are things to keep in mind. Inflation does affect mortgage. 15-year mortgages are something that people are definitely looking at right now. And then, like I said, a lot of young people are really waiting to see what happens with the election. Okay, so there you go with mortgages. Do your homework. With that being said, let me take another quick commercial break, and it's going to be a time to do a little bit of decluttering in our house. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Song, because I was going to say to people, location, location, location when you're buying a home means everything. A house in Missouri could cost three times more if you bought it in Philadelphia. So not that everybody wants to move to Missouri, but location means a lot. So if you think that you can pack your bags and move somewhere else, if there's another place that you were thinking, if you want to get a new start in life, or if you're older and you're looking to relocate, there are a lot of places throughout the country that are so much less expensive than right here in the Philadelphia market, or even here where I am today in the New Orleans market. So again, doing your homework is so important. Well, here we are. We are officially in the fall, hasn't hit winter yet, and it is time to declutter our home again. Home organization is so important. It's not just rearranging the stuff that we have in a house. It's getting rid of things that we don't need. And I have some friends that are just hoarders. They hold on to everything. And I picked something up at one of my friend's houses recently as she's putting in a new kitchen. And I'm like, why do you need this? And I said, have you ever used this cookbook? And she said, no. And I said, how long have you had it? And she said, I don't know, 10, 20 years. And I said, then throw it away. And she said, I can't. Somebody gave it to me. Just let that sink in for a minute. If you're that person, you need to change your mindset, because clutter, clutter, clutter is just the worst thing that you can have in your house. And I always feel that when I declutter and I clean my rooms and I clean my house and it looks really good, I feel lighter. I feel that I don't have all that stress on top of me of walking into a house that's unorganized or not being able to find something. So as the seasons change, you should be looking at decluttering, and it's a great time to do it in the fall. Fall is a great time to reset and declutter and do your fall home maintenance, which is important. I know we've talked about that over the past couple weeks. And decluttering is one of the best things that you can do. Like, I'm that person that has a bag of single socks because the other ones always disappear. Maybe it's time to get rid of them. They are reusable, by the way, as dust cloths. Just so you know, but it's just time to declutter. A lot of your grilling gadgets and things are going on sale right now in the stores as they're bringing in winter stuff and getting rid of the summer stuff. So get rid of all your worn out grilling gadgets, you know, all your bent skewers and rusty pizza trays that you're using on your grill. Just, it's time to toss them away. Anything that has those bristles on it that are shredding, those cleaning brushes for your grill. If it's worn out, if your grill cover is worn out and ruined, it's time to get rid of these things. It's time to discard them and take advantage of the sales and get new ones now before the next season starts. Some other great things that you can do is looking on the outside, any of the old games and pool toys that you might have had with your kids, an old plastic pool, time to get rid of it. Like, look at everything that you have and that you've been using. If you're not going to be using your, you know, dusty old horseshoes and no one's played with it in years, maybe it's time to toss it or put it in the flea market. You know, maybe you've been saving that warped disc for sledding that's not going to work anymore, or you still have a torn kite in your garage sitting in a corner. I mean, it's time to get rid of these things. You know, if you have a ladder that is cracked or the rungs on the ladder aren't doing so well, why is it still in your garage? So get rid of all these things that you are not going to be using. Floaties, things like that. If you store them over the winter, usually they can still get weak and spring a leak. So you might as well add them to the trash pile as well. When you're going through your home and decluttering, just get rid of all the old summer swimsuits and clothes. Make room in your drawers for other things. And rusty patio furniture. Now, we've talked about this. I see a lot of this online right now. People on the marketplace are selling it. If you're that person that loves to do projects and loves the DIY of refinishing home furniture with spray paint, we did a whole show talking about that, then go ahead and go for the sale. But if you have like rusty old furniture or webbed furniture that is just falling apart and you know it can't be fixed, time to get rid of it. And if you're one of those people that has strings of lights all outside of your house, if you have a lot of burned out strands, why are you keeping them on? Why aren't you getting rid of them? There's so many things that you can get rid of in your home that you don't even know are sitting there because you just keep pushing it into a corner. Old shoes, old clothes, drip clothing, all of that. Another thing that people, unless you're using them to clean your cars, old tattered towels. Now, this is a cleaning area that I can go through. When you go to get your linen closet organized, you know, it's time to say goodbye to all the old stuff. Excuse me, I have hiccups. The old beach towels, the old towels that you have that are tattered and torn on the sides. You can, now here's a great tip for some of those things. You can use them for your car, like I said, for cleaning, but don't just throw them out. A lot of local pet shelters will take those as long as they're clean. They can use them for the pets in the shelter, for the dogs and the cats and whatever else they might be using or using for those animals to keep warm or put down as bedding. So another way to repurpose. Garden supplies in your garage, another big thing that you need to really look through. It's time to get rid of, I'm guilty of this, hanging on to my faded garden flags. You know, we always buy those small and big garden flags for outside, and some of them are very well made, but some of them are cheaply made, and they start to fade, and after a year or two, they just don't look so good, and I keep saving mine, so this is something I'm going to throw away. And any of your lawn sprinklers that have stopped working that you can't fix, time to get rid of those too. I'm just trying to help you declutter a little bit, people. Leftover potting soil and fertilizers, if you're not going to finish up using them, you can offer them to local co-ops or greenhouses. Sometimes even landscapers will take them. They're happy to haul them away if you're not going to use them. And then the other thing, I just did this for my mom. I pulled out her fall wreath to put on her door, and she had two of them, and one was kind of disheveled and cracked and didn't look so good. The other one was pretty good. So this is the time to get rid of any of your dilapidated door wreaths and throw them away, unless you're, you know, really a good DIYer and really handy. You know, if they're disintegrating, it's time to get rid of them. And the same thing goes with your holiday, your Christmas wreaths and things when you're pulling them out. If you're not taking the time to store things properly when you put things away, chances are when you go to pull it out, it's going to be damaged. So either put it away properly or it's time to get rid of it. Now, who doesn't have a ton of tote bags in their house? You know, we go to the store, they give us the tote bags for our groceries. We have so many of them, you know, all those free but flimsy bags that we get from the farmer's market should be the first things to go. Get rid of them. Make sure you use things that are a little bit softer, cooler, you know, anything that has any kind of tears in the lining or is dirty. Get rid of anything that's not going to keep your groceries cool. When you bring them back, maybe you might want to get rid of a few of those things, especially if the internal insulation is ruined. And weed out your tote bags. Get rid of the ones that have the broken straps that you keep thinking that you're going to take to, you know, you're going to sit down and sew it and get rid of it. Now, here's another one. And we all have this dinky drinkware. I am guilty as well. The first step to kitchen organization is to get rid of the tons and tons of logo laden coffee mugs. How many people have them? My friend must have over 2,000 coffee mugs. I swear to goodness, she has them in boxes and boxes, and she has them for each season. And then she has things that she just can't get rid of because somebody gave it to her. You're never going to use them. Pick out your favorites. And another thing that you can do with some of these coffee mugs that you love so much, but you never, ever use, is to turn them into planters. You know, if you're a good DIYer for using cuttings and making planters, you can do that. And any travel mugs or leaky water bottles that are old that you can't get a brush in to clean, that grow the mold inside the mouthpiece, ew, get rid of those. Yeah. And then another big thing that you can do is your utensil drawers. How many people have what they call the junk drawer for utensils? You know, tons of kitchen gadgets, you know, but the wine opener that doesn't work and the garlic press that never gets cleaned properly, you know, those are things that maybe you should get rid of. It's time to ditch the things that you don't need. You don't need three slotted spoons in your drawer. You really, really do not. So this is a good way to get into your house and start a little bit of the fall cleaning to declutter and get rid of things. Plastic containers. I just need somebody to come in my house and do that. I do this like maybe twice a year. So we save the Chinese food plastic containers and whatever else we have. Excuse me. Some of those are not good for the microwave. Some of those we might have had so many times that the spaghetti is still stained in the bottom, or we might have lost the lids. So take a couple minutes to go through your container drawer and match them up and get rid of anything that is no good. And then one thing that I really like to put my leftovers in are glass storage containers, because they are just so easy. First of all, you can see through them. They're easy to refrigerate. They're easy to thaw in. And in many times you can reheat. Books, old luggage, these are all things that you need to get rid of to start the decluttering in your home. These are simple things. How many of us have unfunctionizing storage solutions? We have the baskets, 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 baskets for this, baskets for that. Baskets are a great way to organize and put things in order, but sometimes we can overdo it. So these are things that we need to toss. And another thing that I want to recommend to people is, as you've replaced a refrigerator or appliances in your kitchen or an air conditioner or a vacuum cleaner, get rid of the old owner's manuals. Why are you holding on to them? They don't work anymore. You don't have the item anymore. So it's time to get rid of those. And freebies, people love freebies. So, you know, what's that old saying? One person's trash is another person's treasure. So you can always put the stuff that you don't want out on the street for freebies. So just a little bit to keep your home in order and get back in shape with the getting ready for the next winter season that's coming up. And I want to wish a happy fall to everybody. And next week, we will be picking up on Jimmy Carter's 100th birthday and Habitat for Humanity. We will bring you that interview. It'll be a little bit late, but I'll be happy to bring it to you. I want to thank everybody for listening here from the beautiful city of New Orleans, where it's bright and sunny. And we'll be back next week, same place, same time. Thanks for listening, everyone. Pay it forward. Do something nice for someone.
There ain't nothing wrong with this old house. It just needs a little home.